Welcome to this Friday, September 12th, 2014. This would be the first of hopefully many podcasts, typically sports-oriented, going to focus on traditionally Toronto area sports, but try to look into also bigger news, what's happening, who's around, what's going on in the world of sports. So I don't know how many people have focused today on what may be happening in Toronto, but some big news in at least the Toronto sector of sports. The outgoing now CEO of MLSE, Tim Leiweke, had some choice words for a lot of the, I would guess to say, MLSE as a whole. And typically, you wouldn't usually hear what he had to say, but it looked like, you know, there's something there. There's a, what can we say here? Basically, obviously, he is not seeing eye to eye with a lot of the people in MLSE, especially, I'm guessing, some of the big guys, especially the team that hired him. Now, what he had to say was basically against MLSE was that they aren't doing the right things or think they are doing smart things, but on the other hand, they are not. He goes on to say that they are not the smartest people in the room, as well as they need more character players in their organization. Now, when he says character players, based on what he was saying, one would lead to believe that he's focusing mainly on the Leafs. He was targeting a lot of things that may lead towards the Leafs, but didn't actually say it. However, you know, if you hear the interview, you hear what he had to say, it's the Leafs that he was targeting, not the Raptors, not the Toronto FC. Strictly more the Leafs than anything else, which is, you know, understandable for, you know, the collapse and everything like that from last season. However, you know, there must be something else because he is outgoing CEO, as I mentioned. So for him to be saying this now, obviously, he must feel very, very strongly about it. And he's probably brought it up before to MLSE powerhouses, but hasn't really either been heard or was just ignored or laughed at. And he goes on to basically saying that they need more character players, regardless of the numbers that they're putting up. So I'm not sure. You know, it's hard to understand where he's coming from, where he's trying to go with this, because in my opinion, character is useful to a degree. However, you can't win championships around strictly character. Yes, you need character players or character coaches, character in the organization, but character as a whole wouldn't work either. You'd still need, you know, your players to put up those numbers to get you into the playoffs, to compete for a championship. Whether it's being the Leafs, whether it's being the Raptors, whether it's being Toronto FC. There's a lot more to it. And I think, you know, as the days go on, this is a little bit of a newer topic of it just was heard a few hours ago. So, you know, you'll probably hear more about it as the days go by. And, you know, coming up on the season, anyways, beginning of the season, it's basically Leiweke saying that, again, the Leafs are not going to be good enough. So, you know, it kind of leads us to believe that, you know, what are we going to expect this season coming off of, yes, I understand he's the outgoing CEO, but, you know, it doesn't, that's not going to leave any Leaf fans feeling good, you know, with him thinking that we just don't have what it takes, we don't have the players. On the other hand, my other objective is, wasn't Lightwicky around for majority of the last few seasons for players that were coming in? At least, you know, he had a big say in the last year or two. So, you know, he should have voiced his opinion sooner, and hopefully he did. Maybe he was just not listened to, but, you know, on the other hand, Nonis, the GM of the Maple Leafs, answers to him. So for Nonis to make acquisitions, now I'm not saying that Lywicki says yes or no, but he's obviously informed before these deals go through or free agents are signed or players are drafted. So, you know, on the other hand, that could also be partly his fault. And you know what, like I said, you know, until we hear more info on it, there's really not too much else we can say about it. You know, again, he said more players we need in an organization such as Kyle Lowry, which is point guard for the Raptors, in terms of a character type player. So, in my opinion, he's not discussing the Raptors. I don't think he's really bringing up Toronto FC. I'm pretty sure mostly he's targeting the Leafs, obviously, because we haven't won in a long time. And, you know, that is a big deal. And MLSC is, you know, flaunts their stuff as being in Toronto and a big market. But at one point, I think now he's at the position of we have to perform. We have to, if we're gonna say we're one of the biggest markets, we also have to prove it. We have to, you know, we have to win a championship. We have to get in the playoffs, you know, compete for a championship. Until then, we're just, you know, just a large hockey market. We're just a large Canadian market. Doesn't mean we don't have a good fan base. It means just that our team needs to perform. Now, does that mean bringing better players, character players? I don't know. You know, I guess we'll just have to see how this season starts to unfold. And, you know, hopefully if things aren't working, Nonis and, you know, now that Shanahan's in the mix as well, hopefully that, you know, gives us the edge to gradually improve year by year. And hopefully, you know, in the next couple seasons, we'll have a better competitive team that will be able to hold a season from, you know, from September when training camp opens until the playoffs start in, you know, at the end of March, early April, in order to compete, to challenge for a playoff spot, and of course hold a playoff spot, get into the playoffs, and then compete to try to push as far as we can through the playoffs and ultimately compete for a Stanley Cup. Other than that, I don't have much else to say about the situation. You know, I have to hear more about, hopefully in the next couple days we hear more on what he has to say. To be honest, you know, I'm, in one sense, I don't mind that he was honest. On the other sense, I'm not too thrilled because he's the outgoing CEO, not a current CEO. So, you know, hopefully they take notes on this, and the CEO that comes in following him, and, you know, as well with Shanahan and Nonis, they take this and, you know, hopefully use it to their advantage and use everybody else that they've been hiring and bringing in. That have been studying the team, studying the numbers, studying stats, players, character, culture, all that stuff that they want to change. Hopefully, you know, that leads us to ultimately getting a better and consistent team as well as a competitive team. Right, small tidbit in Major League Baseball today. Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles, one of their best sluggers, has been suspended 25 games by Major League Baseball for failing a drug test. So he will be missing The remaining games of the season, as well as an additional few in the playoffs, which is, you know, a big blow for Baltimore, as, you know, he's going to be missing a decent chunk of their playoff run, and that could be a huge, huge deal if they do stumble out of the gate in the playoffs in the first round. Don't have any sympathy for this. You know, it's, we're at the day and age now that, you know, there's no tolerance. I'm glad that Major League Baseball was able to get suspension out quickly and effectively and a decent amount of time as well. And, you know, I'm not surprised, you know, from him having such a good season last year to, you know, a mediocre season this year. You know, some people jokingly said, you know, oh, you know, this guy's on drugs and stuff like that. And, you know, it turns out that a lot of people were right. And, you know, it's one of those things that, this is why Major League Baseball gets a bad rap. And hopefully, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of drugs they're taking, whether it's steroids, whether it's, you know, marijuana, stuff like that, any sort of performance enhancing substance or just drugs in general, painkillers, all that sort of stuff. If it's anything against, you know, what the league has approved, then of course they should be suspended. You know, I want to see fair baseball. I want to see competitive baseball, but I want to see natural athletes. I don't want to see athletes that are, you know, using substance enhancing drugs and stuff like that. So, you know, it's better for the sport. You know, it's going to continue. I can guarantee you he's not the only person still. You know, there's lots of players that are probably still doing it. And, you know, I hopefully, you know, they catch these guys and we see competitive, clean baseball. And, you know, that's all I really have to say on that topic. All right, so the Jays tonight start a homestand against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Rays. Used to be Devil Rays. Now just the Rays. So, big set, obviously. 17 games left, and the Jays are 3.5 games back of the second place wild card spot. So basically they have to win a good, at least out of the 17 games remaining, I'd say minimum 14, possibly 15, to even make some noise to possibly challenge for that playoff spot. The thing is, the Jays just haven't been consistent this season. That's the biggest problem. They're, you know, based on what we're seeing now, what we saw in different parts of the season, we saw the team that can make a playoff push and can compete to make the playoffs. On the other hand, we also saw a bunch of periods this season of a team that was, you know, a joke. They were just not good, not consistent. Injuries didn't help, but on the other hand, no consistency from the top guys. So right now, it's better that they are in a competing spot. It's better for the fan base to see that, you know, we can actually watch some decent baseball. The last time the Jays were in this situation to compete in August, late August, early September, would have to be probably within, I'd say, minimum 6 years ago. Maybe more than that, maybe towards the 10-year mark. But that's the biggest thing right now. It's good for the fan base to give, you know, some sort of message that the team is improving. Now, the downfall of this is that our big superstars, Bautista, Encarnacion, Burley, Dickey, all those players, not young guys anymore. So this may be technically one of their best chances to make the postseason. Come next year, everyone's going to be a year older. Team's going to be a little bit different. Chances are players like Jansen and Rasmus may not be in Blue Jays uniforms anymore, as well as even Cabrera, which is upcoming on his contract. So he needs to be re-signed. So right now, the Jays are in their best spot. Because who knows what happens next season. I know I don't really want to look to next season. But, you know, it does get concerning when you see, you know, they can play good. They were in first place at one point in the division. Then they were in first place in the wild card. They were hanging on to a wild card spot for a little bit. But poor play and inconsistency dropped them out. So tonight, Hap goes to the mound. They have won 4 in a row. They swept the Cubs in their last series. So the basic thing right now is just keep winning. There's nothing else to look to. At this point, it's just winning. Just win. I know it sounds simple enough, but players got to be consistent. The stars have to step up. The big boys have to show up. And pitching is a big, big thing right now. We have to have good starts from our starters to go deep into ball games, at least minimum the sixth inning, because at this point in the season, you'll see a lot of injuries. You'll see players starting to not have what they had at the beginning of the season. Players are going to be tired. Players are going to be worn out. That's why they call these the dog days of summer, even though it's, you know, not hot outside. We didn't really have a great summer, but in terms of performance, in terms of the impact on these players' bodies is getting, you know, ridiculous at this point, because they play almost every day. Usually baseball players get between maybe 3 days off max per month. So they're playing, you know, in a 30-day month, you're seeing minimum 27, 28 games played a month. So, you know, playing every day, it does have its impact, definitely on not only injuries, but just the ability for players to recover from, you know, even minor stuff, you know, minor strains, minor bruises, minor muscle tears, anything like that. So at this point in the season, we have to basically rely on depth more than anything else, and hopefully our depth is enough to get to push us in the playoffs. It does not look good. The chances are very, very slim. They have to win minimum 14 or 15 games out of the last 17 to even have about a 50% chance. So it's not impossible, but it's not probable either. You know, it'll be interesting to watch. You know, I'm going to keep watching and, you know, hopefully, you know, they make the playoffs. I am a fan of the Jays and, you know, I enjoy what they've been doing this season at parts. They've also had parts that I was not pleased with. It's a little disappointed. But, you know, at this point, I'd rather see competitive baseball than what we've been seeing lately. And that's, you know, last place, basement feeders, stuff like that. So, you know, it'll be exciting, and hopefully for the city of Toronto, we can see some postseason baseball late in September this year. Okay, so I know the story's been around for, you know, a couple days now, the whole Ray Rice saga. With the video and TMZ and ESPN and everything like that. It's a big tornado whirlwind of disaster for not only Ray Rice, the professional, Ray Rice personal, as well as his family. As we know, Ray Rice was caught on a videotape hitting his wife, so domestic violence. The tape was obviously not fun to watch. If you haven't seen it, you know, it's not something we should see, but, you know, it is out there. If you are curious to go watch, it is out there. Take a look, see what you, how your view is, but bottom line is he did what he did. What he did was wrong, of course. What I don't agree with is how it's been dealt with in terms of not only the police department of New Jersey and Atlantic City, but as well as the NFL and his family as well. Because, you know, when stuff like this happens, we usually don't hear about it. This stuff happens every day. Every day. Everybody in their personal lives will at one point witness some sort of domestic violence. I'm not saying you're going to go and hit somebody or someone's going to hit you. But you'll know of a friend or a family member that it's happened to or something like that. So it's not uncommon. The real problem I had was this video shouldn't have been for public viewing. Should not have been paraded around by TMZ. Should not have been paraded around by ESPN, who, you know, constantly replayed it like it was a highlight film. You know, I'm used to seeing Ray Rice doing 100-yard punt returns or kickoff returns. We're splitting the D and rushing it up the field for 40, 50 yards. That's the highlights I'm used to seeing for Ray Rice. Not the guy that was, you know, stepped out of line at one time. And I'm not saying Ray Rice is a good guy. I'm not saying Ray Rice is a bad guy. Everybody makes mistakes. Obviously, you know, domestic violence is not one of those things you want to see. And it's not one of those things you want to talk about in sports. Now, the thing that I disagree with is this is the problem that we're talking about it. Because Ray Rice is a big sports figure, that's why we're talking about it. Because every day there is domestic violence. We don't hear about it, and we don't care about it. Unless we have a video, to see exactly what happened, we don't care. We don't care about who, we don't care about why, we don't care about who got hurt and who was the abuser. We don't care. Doesn't matter to us. Doesn't hurt our lifestyle. We go on our life as, you know, as it should. Now, on the other hand, because there's a video, everybody is now interested. Because you've seen it happen. As soon as you see it happen, you immediately have an opinion. Not saying what Ray Rice did was right. It was very wrong. But on the other hand, that kind of situation should be dealt with by Ray Rice and his wife. Not by the NFL, not by TMZ, not by whoever sold off the video. Because stuff like this, it does, you know, affect people's personal life. That's, you know, a part of your personal privacy. That kind of video should only be seen by police, law enforcement, and, you know, maybe the NFL. I don't even think the NFL should have a hold of it. So now Ray Rice has yet to be convicted. He is in, obviously, a lot of trouble. He has not been convicted yet. On the other hand, the NFL and the Baltimore Ravens have taken this into their own hands, originally suspended him for 2 games, followed by the Baltimore Ravens then released him from his contract, and the NFL suspended him indefinitely. So now, this 2-game suspension was handed out before everybody saw this video. And there was no real explanation to why he was suspended the first time. Now, that leads, you know, a lot of people to believe, you know, they already had this video. But on the other hand, when they talked to NFL Commissioner Goodell, he said that he just saw it. Now, who's telling who which lie? Because, you know, the Associated Press was saying that the NFL and the Ravens had the video since, I believe, April. And the commissioner is saying he just saw it. We're in September. So somebody is saying something wrong. So if you're telling me it took from April to September to either get this video or hear about this or whatever they were doing, somebody's lying. But again, like I said, the video should not have been released to the public. We should not have to have seen it. I disagree with that. I disagree with the NFL using it as a tool to suspend him or take sentencing into their own hands. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with him being released by the team until he was convicted. If he's convicted of the crime, regardless of the video, that's fine. I understand that. But until he's proven guilty, he should not have been released from his contract. Now, on the other hand, it's just a lot of mess for the Baltimore Ravens, Ray Rice, and obviously the NFL. It's just, at the end of the day, it's stupidity. We should not have to be talking about this. It has happened numerous times in the NFL. And the only reason people are talking about it now is because it's the first time that something like this has happened recently that people have been very, very active on social media. So as soon as it came out, instantly everybody was talking about it. It was everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, wherever you went, whatever news page, whether it was standard news or sports news, Ray Rice was on the cover. You know, that story was there. So it's one of those things now that it is a big, big, like, I don't even know. Like, I don't understand why it was released. Why would the public need to see it? So in that case, I just disagree with that. And because now you've got more than they really needed to. In the past, we never talked about it because there was no video. So maybe they're using him as an example, but I don't understand. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. The NFL at this point, I think, is just kind of covering their backsides. And, you know, it's just a mess entirely. Now, on the other hand, on this whole domestic violence case and everything like that, now, what happened if it was the wife that hit him? Or what was the confrontation in the elevator? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what the reason was. I'm not saying it was okay. I'm not saying it made it right or wrong. But something led to him reacting the way that he did. The way that he did, there must have been, there's obviously miscommunication or confrontation that led him to react the way that he did. Again, not saying it's right, but what on the other hand if the girl hits him, the wife hits him? Is it still considered domestic violence? Yes. Would people care? No. Because if Ray Rice hits his wife, he's considered a bad guy. He's all of a sudden goes from good football player to bad person. For one mistake. On the other hand, if his wife hits him, there's another issue, because other people are going to say, well, she was either defending herself from him, or he said something he wasn't supposed to, and the wife hit him. And that's okay, apparently. That's the way our society works. I don't agree with it. I don't stand for it. I don't tolerate it. If that ever happened to me, it would not be something that I would even deal with. It's not something I would give a second thought at. Now, the other thing is people say, oh, because he's a football player. That's what they do. That's not what they do. Just because he's a football player does not lead him to hit his wife. There's a lot of football players out there that will never hit their wives. Just because they're a football player, just because they've been hit in the head, or just because they've had, you know, head trauma or concussions, that does not lead them to being at fault of a crime because of the sport that they play, the sport that they choose to play. They know that there's repercussions. They know that there's a chance they can get hurt. They know that there's a chance of serious brain damage. There's a past of it. It's not a surprise anymore. We know that it happens. So I don't agree when people say it's because he's an NFL player. What about other sports? The NBA, the NHL, the MLB. You don't think players have been involved in domestic violence suits? They definitely have. We don't hear about it because there's no videos. There's no evidence. There's no big story about it. And that's where the line is. I understand it happens more with the NFL players in terms of stuff that we've heard of. And I'm not saying that it's not their fault. It is their fault. If you commit the crime, you commit the crime. But what I'm saying is, just because you play a certain sport, just because you play a sport that causes injuries to your head, does not give you consent that you committing a crime such as domestic violence as okay, or it's because of a post injury or brain trauma or anything like that. I don't agree with it, and I hope they just move on with this, because I just want to see some football and see where it goes. I hope Ray Rice does get to play again, but on the other hand, I also do hope he does get punished for the crime that he committed, and I hope this story goes away. Thanks for listening to my first podcast. As I mentioned before, it will be the first of many. I'm going to try to, pump out at least once a week, maybe twice a week, depending on how busy school and work and everything is, busy life. I always accept any sort of criticism, compliments, anything to help me get better, something that I want to do in my future. So it'd be great, to hear what you have to think. Feedback on anything I've said, your opinion would be great. I'm going to set up a blog for this podcast, as well as I'm going to probably get it up on iTunes. In the meantime, it'll probably be just on YouTube or on SoundCloud or something like that. So if you can get at me, on Twitter at TeoPasculi92. Anything you want to tell me, anything you want to let me know, what I did wrong, what I did good, would be a great help. Trying to get as many listeners as I can, try to get this off the road. And, if you're listening, thanks for the support. And I'm going to try to continue to pump out stuff that you'll enjoy to listen to. Thanks.